Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Uniting. I am Reverend Brittany Alexander, interim minister here at CCU. Thank you for joining us today. I am delighted that you have tuned in either in body or in spirit. For those of you who are in-house, you may have already noticed that we have a special couple of guests with us this morning. We have Reverend Richie Sanchez and Bruce Indermill. Give them a nice wave of welcome. Reverend Richie Sanchez is the regional minister for the Pacific Southwest region of the Disciples of Christ, and Bruce Indermill is the regional ministry administrator. So delighted that you are with us this morning, and Reverend Richie will be bringing us a word a little bit later in the service. And now, as we begin our time of worship together, join me in prayer. Loving God, as we arrive in this moment, may our minds and bodies breathe a sigh of relief, knowing that you are with us. May what is behind us and what is before us be set aside, that we may truly be here now, present to the divine among us, present to the divine within us, and present to the divine beside us. As a symbol of this divine presence, we light a candle, boldly proclaiming the interconnectedness of all things. Amen. My friends, peace of Christ to you this day. I invite you to share a sign of peace or a wave of peace. If you are at home, I invite you to share an emoji of peace, whatever that may look like to you. Share the peace of Christ this morning. Amen. We know the peace of Christ reaches beyond physical walls and virtual screens. Peace of Christ to you. And now let us join our hearts and voices in our opening hymn.
Friends, we're back in our special worship space. Maybe you remember some of the stories that we've already told. Today, we have something new here. It's really big. It's got a lot of sand in it. And we call it our desert box because there's so many stories in the Bible that took place in the desert. And so we have a little piece of it here. The desert is such a changing place. It's mysterious at night, it's cool, and during the day it's hot, hot. There's not a lot of water, but in today's story that took place, it was near a river. So we'll put a river in our desert box, and we'll introduce you to some characters. This is a shape made out of wood that reminds us of John the Baptist, who lived in the desert and had many people following him because he was preaching the good news and baptizing people in the faith. And one day, Jesus came and he asked to be baptized. And so together they went into the river and they went, we'll just put them underneath the water, just like we've done here at our church, or at the ocean. Sometimes people are baptized by just a little sprinkle of water, but water is always involved. And so it was that John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and we give thanks for Jesus' love in the world. Join me in prayer. Dear loving and creative God, thank you for sand, for the desert, for the stories that we learn about of long faith in you. Thank you for the gift of water and baptism. Be with us this week on our journey ahead. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even the sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Our scripture from Luke today is a continuation of Jesus' sermon on the plain. Like last week, we have another familiar passage, this time about love. Love for our enemies. The Greek sense, enemy is one who opposes you and may do so in a hostile fashion, even unto violence. Love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, turn the other cheek. I don't know about you, but this text is somewhat troubling to me. From my clinical training as a chaplain and my training as a minister, I see all kinds of boundary-related red flags. Taken at face value, it sounds like we're supposed to give all the time, and to keep giving even when others treat us poorly. Taken at face value, it sounds like we're supposed to have this magical reservoir of patience and tolerance and goodwill, especially for the jerks. Because everybody knows it's easy to be patient and loving to your partner or your sibling or your friend. At face value, it sounds like we're supposed to re-engage with people who are bad for us again and again. It sounds like how not to have any healthy sense of self-respect. I think this passage must be troubling for other folks too, because as I was preparing my sermon, I noticed that my go-to resources for sermon prep do not focus on this text at all. All of them, every single one, opted for any other text that's listed in the lectionary except for Luke's passage. And so I dug a little deeper, and many of these resources skip the passage in Luke every year C cycle. In one of them, there are three cycles of year C in the lectionary archives, and Luke is not there at all. I cannot say for certain, but I suspect the reason for this is similar to my own wrestling with this text. It also does not help that the Christian tradition has tended to look upon this text and find an interpretation that at best encourages docility and at worst enables injustice. Luke's passage and the partner passage in Matthew have often been used to circumvent justice, to avoid responsibility for abuse, and to remain complicit in the forces of oppression. To the battered wife, it has been said, well, Jesus said to turn the other cheek. To the indigenous person who grieves their stolen homeland and lost culture, it has been said, well, Jesus said, don't ask for your stolen things again. Well, Jesus said. I've lost count of how many times Jesus said has been used to get people back under the thumb of abuse. I try to practice what I preach, and I think it's important to preach difficult texts for the very reason that without re-envisioning, we will get what we always got. So here we are. An entry point for me in this passage is what has been called the golden rule. Do to others what you would have them do to you. The presence of this single line is what begins to unravel the traditional interpretation for me. The reigning formula in the first century is treat others how they treat you. Not much has changed in 2,000 years, I think. Treat others how they treat you is still common. Hollywood produces films in rapid fire depicting bad guys getting exactly what they deserve. And we cheer when they do. Good old retributive justice. But the thing about treating others how they treat you is that it does not often de-escalate a situation. Treating others how they treat you also does not often effectively or explicitly confront harmful behavior. Treat others how they treat you is the cycle of abuse and oppression and injustice. The words in Luke actively suggest doing something counter to that cycle, something that might break that cycle. Treat others how you want to be treated. This is not violence, but this is not acquiescence either. And yet, with the traditional interpretations, we get a false dichotomy of either violence or docility. Walter Wink has pointed out the fact that in no story about Jesus do we encounter a Jesus who fails to confront or who fails to call out injustice. The life model displayed by Jesus is neither violent nor docile. The life of Jesus represents what Walter Wink has called the third way. Wink has written extensively about the turn the other cheek passage in Luke and in Matthew, but he has used predominantly Matthew to make his point. And he has suggested that loving the enemy is actually a blueprint for creative confrontation in the midst of oppression and abuse. The first thing to note is that each of the responses run counter to what is expected. Do the unexpected. Surprise people. Disarm them with your wit, your creativity, your wisdom. The second thing to note is that at this time, use of fists was reserved for a fight among equals. The disciples, Jesus' audience in this passage, are poor or middle class. They are not Jewish elite. They are not billionaires or soldiers or Roman officials. And they are about to become among the lowliest once the Jewish elite and Rome begin to see the threat of their ministry. Instead of fists, a backhand was used to correct people of lower status. And at this time, you also did not use your left hand. The left hand was reserved for unclean tasks, like wiping your bum and the like. Turning the other cheek presents a bit of a conundrum. Do you, as the hitter, do the socially unacceptable thing by elevating the underling as an equal? Do you do the socially unacceptable thing by using the left hand to administer yet another backhand? If you take someone's garment and he proceeds to fully undress in front of you on a very public street, saying loudly, "You took my coat. Do you want my shirt too?" What do you do? I would be giving the coat back. The specific examples that we have here may be partially lost in time and translation. But I think we know enough to conclude that these responses are meant to draw attention to the absurdity of violence and justice, and injustice, excuse me. To draw attention to the really socially unacceptable thing, which is treating people as less than human. In the summer of 2020, you may remember that there was a series of Black Lives Matter protests all across the country after the murder of George Floyd on May 25th. You may also recall that the violence was pretty acute at these protests. A lot of the violence did not come from the protesters themselves. It came from planted anarchist groups, other random citizens driving cars into and over protesters. The violence also came from police and state troopers who fired gas and pepper bombs or beat folks with clubs. One such protest took place in Portland, Oregon. A group of officers positioned themselves across from a group of protesters. And as things were beginning to escalate, a woman emerged between the two groups, wearing nothing but her face mask and a stocking cap. In her vulnerable skin, she stood to face the police and then proceeded to hold different ballet poses. The groups on both sides were pretty stunned by her action. An officer fired pepper bombs near her feet when they had previously been shooting at people's torsos. Someone came with a shield to stand in front of her, but she refused to be shielded. And within 10 minutes of her arrival, the police withdrew. No other shots were fired. Her identity remains unknown, but someone has affectionately dubbed her Naked Athena, after the goddess of war and wisdom. And to call her Athena also turns the idea of war on its head, because she did not use a tactic of violence, but a tactic of resistance, of protest. One of the first things Naked Athena was asked in an interview was, "Why did you do it?" She said she was overcome with rage. And she said, quote, "I wanted them to see what they were shooting at." Loving your enemy could look something like that. The passage in Luke could sound something like, keep doing good even when it is hard. People are going to say and do terrible things. Don't hold it in and carry it around with you forever like a millstone around your neck. Process it, grieve it, and then give it away. Because we have bigger fish to fry. We have a life to live, and we have lives to change. We have got to get creative about how we engage with folks who don't agree with us. We've got to get even more creative with those who hurt us, who abuse us, who refuse to acknowledge the sacredness of the human person. Loving the enemy is something close to what I think Paulo Freire meant when he suggested that ending the cycle of violence and oppression means the liberation even of the oppressor, who himself is under the influence of delusion, which is a failure to see the sacredness in all things. Loving the enemy is creative resistance to the dehumanizing forces that are at work in ourselves and in our systems. And so I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Amen. Let us pray. God of creativity and justice, we recognize that there are ways that we have failed to co-conspire with our siblings in order to work for the good of others and the good of self. For this we ask forgiveness, that we might breathe out our guilt, dust ourselves off, and try again. May we continue to awaken to ways that we can better love ourselves, love others, and love our planet. We remember and pray for a number of our friends and family and extended ohana who are struggling with physical issues, some with broken bones, aching bodies, and extreme physical pain. We ask for relief, support, and healing. And now, as we pray, as we have been taught, with the confidence of the children of God held in love and in grace, I invite you to use a name for God that feels right to you. This may be Father, Mother, Creator, Divine, or perhaps there is another name of your choosing. I invite you to use that name now as we pray. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. As we come to the table, I would invite those of you at home or here in the sanctuary to grab either one of our pre-made communions outside or a little snack at home to join in communion with us today. This table is a table of welcome and creativity. All are invited. And we remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he poured it out and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you." And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my love in the world. People of God, the table is set, prepared for you. Take and eat. At this time, I invite you to consider how you might contribute to the work and ministry of Christ Church Uniting. This may be gifts of time or service or energy. This may be monetary gifts or flowers like these beautiful ones behind me. We want to thank Peter and Cynthia Chu, who have provided our lovely flowers this morning in memory of Gregory K.H. Chu. Thank you, Peter and Cynthia, for this blessing. A link is available for you to donate flowers or monetary gifts online. However you choose to contribute, you further the work and ministry here at CCU in the world. And so we thank you for that. And now, let us stand and join together in our doxology. At this time, I would like to invite Reverend Richie Sanchez to the podium to share a few words with us.
Well, aloha. I am so grateful for so many reasons this morning to have had this opportunity, this beautiful opportunity to worship with you, to hear a powerful sermon from Reverend Brittany Alexander. Indeed, I am blessed to be here this morning. I would be remiss if I don't also again once introduce, I almost said Reverend Bruce, Mr. Bruce Indermill, who has served on our regional ministry staff for over 14 years and has not been able to grace these kinds of missions and these kinds of visits, and I thought it was also fitting for him to not only worship with us this morning, but we'll be visiting with Wahiawa Christian Church, and in addition to that, First Christian Church Honolulu this week, and so grateful that we could make this happen. In addition, I wanted to say I am inspired by your sermon, and indeed, the book of Luke is just has so much power behind it, and there was a poem that I had cited by a brilliant black feminist who had said that indeed that joy is an act of resistance, right? And so wherever you might find yourself, please give yourself lots of self-care. What an interesting time that we do find ourselves, but then part of it, our way to deal with you know, some of these credit issues is by indeed keeping joy and making sure that we resist as much as we can. And that's indeed. I want to ask for your support and care in one way. which is something brand new during this pandemic for all of us. In years past, we've had opportunities to engage in a regional assembly with you in mind and you in heart and you in thought. And I know that there have been times through the, Paul was telling me that this congregation, 1972, right? I won't tell you what year I was born. But I would imagine, that it would have had to have taken delegates or leaders from this church to fly all the way down to Southern California or different parts to be able to celebrate together. But thanks be to God, within these 2 years, right, of the pandemic, all these cameras that are here in this space, indeed, I have a deep heart for your congregation in some way, somehow, whether if it's the worship or different contributions. To be with us indeed in October 14th and 15th when the assembly will get back together, knock on wood, in person, indeed, and also with these gifts of video, as you see. So I don't know if that's going to mean that we'll have to bring in our interim pastor down there, but I hope we can find ways that we can connect stronger, deeper, wider, in our time. And so if you're looking at my face for the first time, you're like, who is this guy? Totally okay. I started on October 19th of 2019, which means that I only had about 4 or 5 months before we all were back in a lockdown. What we thought was going to be 2, 3, 4 weeks for sure now is almost 2 years. I actually had a regional leader say, you know, it's been 4 years. And I looked at her. I said, you and all of us must be really exhausted indeed. But no, we have a lot of great things yet ahead. And indeed, I appreciate all that you did. The divine is not only beside us, is in us and will work through us in order for God's church to continue to be alive in these days. No more time than now. It's so needed. So with that said, I don't know if I forgot anything else, Bruce. Just to keep your sister congregations in prayer, I did have some time with Linda Culbertson, who is the presbyter as well, and so grateful in this process. And so know that we are continuously praying, and I guess you will see her soon as well. But I'll be back. I'm not the Arnold Schwarzenegger type, you know, if you know what I mean. But I will be back, like I mentioned to Paul. Our hope is to be able to celebrate the transitions of both First Christian Church and Wahiawa Christian Church with new leadership that they'll announce very soon. And so celebrate the goodbyes of Susan and Don Dewey, those of you that don't know that have been here serving as their interims as they return, and then to come back and to install that pastor for both congregations. And so thank you for this gift, Beth. I don't know where you are. There you go. So thanks be to God for the magic of video, because I was like, that was a really quick transition of clothes. I don't know if I gave that away for whoever's looking. I'm so sorry. So sorry, but it's a quick transition of clothes. But I'm so grateful for her leadership and the leadership of the search committee that has indeed found a powerful woman of God in this place. And so thank you. Thank you. Indeed, we'll be back very soon. All right. Bless you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Reverend Richie, for your words. We appreciate you being here and sharing with us and feeling connected across the sea. At this time, I'd like to invite Diane to the podium. She has a word or two to say for us today.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm Diane Brookins, and I am serving on the church council again as of January 1st. And I just wanted to take just a couple of minutes to let you know that at the council meeting yesterday, we have begun the process of putting together a pastor nominating committee. We will be following the process outlined in the bylaws. We will be prayerfully considering how we can best represent this community in the search for settled pastoral leadership. What we would ask is that if you are approached to serve on that committee that you will prayerfully consider it yourself and try to help us support that effort. So we will be coming up with a slate that council will recommend to the congregation. We'll hold a special congregational meeting to approve that slate. So please stay tuned. We're moving on it, and we would appreciate your prayers as we engage in that process of discernment. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Diane, for that. We also have a number of other announcements today. The first is particularly important, and that is that I invite you to share your prayer concerns and ministry needs with us. Share with an elder, share with a deacon, share with myself. We are available to you and wanting to pray with you and support you in whatever way that we can. You are also invited to share any prayer concerns to our email, which is prayers@ccukailua.org. Another announcement is that the office will be closed tomorrow due to the President's Day holiday, but will be open again on Tuesday. Another announcement is that the season of Lent is fast approaching, begins on Ash Wednesday, which is March 2nd. So that's not this coming Wednesday, but next Wednesday, and we will have an Ash Wednesday service that will be at 7 p.m. So keep an eye on the newsletter because it will be in there as well. Let's see, we also have on March 5th, we're having a due day, a work day, that Beth has graciously headed up for us. So that's going to be from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, March 5th. We plan to get into the dirt and get messy and to then hopefully get things very clean after that. So please mark your calendars and join us for that. And let me just make sure, yes. One final thing is that March 11th is our rescheduled Vespers on the Lanai, and we will have Sun Hui on Erhu, which is a traditional Chinese instrument, accompanied by Pierre Grill on the piano. So that will be March 11th, 7 p.m. Again, check the newsletter, mark it on your calendar. And I think that concludes our announcements for now. And so now let us join our hearts and voices once more in our closing hymn. I forgot one announcement. And that is that we are having a congregational meeting today after the service. Very important announcement to have forgotten, but that is what we are doing. And so if you are a voting member, please stick around in person. Please join us through the Zoom link that you received. If you are not a member but are just kind of curious about what that looks like, you are also welcome to stay. And with that, may the light of Christ dwell in you richly. May you feel the warmth of connection in knowing that as one body in Christ, we are united and we do not go alone. Go in the grace and peace of Christ.